Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Fly Girl Show. It is a gorgeous day in Chicago, and I hope it's a gorgeous day wherever you are. Even though we know these hurricanes are threatening people on the in Louisiana and so forth, but we give them all our prayers and our blessings and hope all is going to work out well. Well, we are going to take a little break and get back to something that matters. Something that people have taken for granted or forgotten or don't even know. And we have an expert today on etiquette, and her name is Carolyn Shelton. And we are going to go back and get back to the roots of where we need to be, because manners matter, and they still do. We have forgotten a lot of things. We have forgotten the root of why we do what we do and why we shouldn't do some of the things that we do. So with that, I am going to bring in Carolyn Shelton, my guest for today, and we're going to discuss some things that goes from A to Z on how manners matter in your everyday life, when you're applying for a job, just when you just even want to say thank you to your mother and your father for all that they do for you. So let's start this wonderful interview, and I hope that you will learn something. I hope that you will be entertained, and I hope you take something away from this interview. So once again, let me introduce to my audience, Carolyn. Good morning.
Good morning, Casey. How are you today? And I must tell you that it's a gorgeous day here in New Orleans. I just finished a bowl of gumbo. I said, well, I better have my lunch early since I'm going to be, you know, interviewing for about an hour. So it's a gorgeous day here in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Well, that's good to know, because that hurricane was threatening to come right through there, and I did not have time to look at the weather this morning to see what or who or whatever it has done or who may have been hit. So I'm glad to know the sun is shining and all is well in New Orleans.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, New Orleans or New Orleans? Now, how do you say it?
Well, you know, I'm not from New Orleans. I say New Orleans, and maybe it's New Orleans, but I say New Orleans. My people hail from Lafayette and Karen Crow, and also Houston, Texas, Frenchtown. And so my people are from Lafayette, Karen Crow. Karen Crow, that means Dead Buzzard, Youngsville, Louisiana, my dad's hometown. And then a lot of Louisianians migrated to Texas, and they formed a little community called Frenchtown. So that whole little Creole corridor, I should say, is where I'm from.
Okay. Well, that was a good thing because, you know, New Orleans, I think that's like tomato, tomato. So there we go.
Exactly.
And so there you go. It really gets us right into etiquette, proper etiquette.
Absolutely.
So you gave us a little. Yeah, I enjoyed that little bio, but give my audience just a little bit more and tell me, you know, you flew for United, you were among the first black flights.
No, ma'am. Not United.
Continental.
It's Continental, which is now United.
Half wrong and half right.
Yes.
So,
Robert F6, yes. Our base was actually out of Denver, Colorado. And then, of course, my base was in Los Angeles. So it was definitely Continental.
Okay.
United, yes.
Okay. So, so you were among the first.
Yes, ma'am.
And the first one for Continental was Diane Hunter, correct?
Fabulous Diane Hunter. She is just awesome.
Fabulous. Diane.
She is the best. Her heart is the same. She is just, I just don't have any words. I don't think there are any words in the dictionary and a thesaurus. She is the best. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So she opened the doors and carried the torch high.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
So how did you get, so there we go. So that was what year, give me the year once again. And then from that, what inspired you? Because you've given us the history of where you started. So Texas was part of where you're from. And I met you in Chicago. And so those were the later years of, you know, you and I.
Green.
Uh-huh, yeah. In Cabrini Green, yes. And
Cabrini
I wrote up
Green.
A little, yes, and for the audience, I just want to say this. Let me tell a little story about how we met, and then we're going to get into the etiquette, I promise. But both of our friends have been telling each other that they need to meet. My friends were saying I had to meet Carolyn because we're so alike. Her friends were saying the same thing. So we're on a taping for Oprah's show. And
no, that wasn't a taping for Oprah's show. That was a program that actually they went to Cabrini Green, but it wasn't for Oprah's show. It wasn't for Oprah's show. It was not for Oprah's show. What happened? I had a program. I had a dropout program in Cabrini Green, and it was called the Employability Plus Program. And I invited Oprah and her staff many, many times to speak to my kids. Most of my kids were unwed mothers and gang members, I have to say. And the program was called the Employability Plus Program, and it was a combination of a program where we partnered with a lot of business people in Chicago, from Larry Levy to Rich Melman to all the McDonald's guys, Wendy's, all of these companies. We had a partnership with them where we cleaned those kids up mentally in terms of teaching them etiquette and manners. And, hold on a second. Just leave it. Thank you. So basically that's what they were there taping a part of, and Oprah did come and speak to my students on many, many occasions, as well as Edmund. And they came to Cabrini Green, and that's what the whole program was about. It was about teaching these young ladies how to be a lady, how a little bit about manners, how to apply for a job, how to make sure their hair was well groomed. The young guys were the same way. Back then, we didn't have the fagging problem. We had a problem with them just leaving Cabrini Green, going and applying for a job. And that's what the program was all about. The program was also about introducing them to all of the businesses that were on Michigan Avenue. Many of those kids lived two blocks from Michigan Avenue, two blocks from the Ritz-Carlton, two blocks from all of the major businesses on Michigan Avenue, and knew nothing about it. And I'm ranting right now. But I remember clearly I had about 15 of my kids, and I bought pizza that day. And I said, you know, we're going to walk over to the water tower. So we walked to the water tower. We went to the water tower. We went to the Ritz-Carlton. I'll never forget this. And part of my program was showing them how they need to present themselves for a job interview. So we're standing in the lobby of the Ritz-Carlton, and one of my little guys said, "Hey, Miss Shelton, where do people sleep in this joint?" None of them had ever been to any hotel. And so I had to explain to them right in the lobby the various jobs they could apply for. They could work at the front desk. They could work in housekeeping. They could work at the restaurant. And they didn't know. So you had to part of the program was to expose them to things that they should actually go out there and pursue, as well as, and more importantly, an education. And part of the program that we had was a program to help them get their GED, because we had a teacher from the Chicago public school, and he was helping them with their GED. And then I had a partnership with all the business people from, like I said before, from Rich Melman, Larry Levy, all of the business people in Chicago. All they had to do was say, we're part of the Employability Plus program, and they were given a chance to work in these different industries, from restaurants to hotels to you name it. And I have to say it was successful. It was successful, and I did it from my heart. But another part of the program, I have to just say this, another part of my program was grooming, and I had to explain to them why they couldn't wear certain things on a job interview. And then I contacted Ebony Mag, Ebony, what was the name of that medic that Ebony had? Fashion Fair. I had someone from Fashion Fair donate a lot of makeup, a lot of the makeup, and then I had Walgreens donate products, you know, that they would wash their face with. And so it was a partnership with a lot of people in Chicago, and I have to tell you, it was successful. And I've carried that program on from that point in the 1980s up until 2020.
Well, that's good, because I was going to say, that program, your program, all the energy and everything needs to be reestablished, because I think that we've lost so much. And it shows in the different songs that are coming out and the different names that these young kids are calling each other, and they think that's acceptable, and it is not. And I just love that your energy, and for those that did not see, or if you haven't seen it yet, please go on my Facebook page and look at the interview of 2020 that they did on Carolyn. Not only is this her passion, she lived it, she groomed it, she developed it, and she lived it, and she lives it. And so for those that we need to reach out, manners still matter during this time, and this is what we're living with right now. I think that, you know, the pants hanging down below their butt, if they understood, which is what older adults have tried to do, to tell them where that originated from, it's not acceptable. It's self-respect is what we are trying to deal with. And your program did that.
Yes, but, you know, you also have to be the example, and you also have to expose these kids. And you also have to, a very important component to teaching these classes that I found, you also have to talk to the mom. Sometimes these young people are in a single parent home, and they think, "Well, I don't have a man around me. I don't have a husband." But back in the day, a lot of women in my mom's era didn't have a husband through maybe, you know, divorce, or maybe through just a person just being absent, or maybe, you know. So there were a lot of families that raised decent kids without the benefit of a husband in the household. However, always had a grandfather, you had an uncle, you had maybe someone in the neighborhood that helped that mom raise her kids. And if she saw a kid misbehaving, or he saw a kid misbehaving, you would correct that child. I know you have to be careful doing
that. It's the village.
But we have to do it. And I still do it to this day. And I mean, I have kids look at me, they'll cock their head to the side. I go like, "Sir." And they'll look at me like, I say, "Sir, you're a handsome young man. Could you please do me a favor?" And they look at me like, "What's she talking about?" I said, "Sir."
Yeah.
And I'm always polite. I said, "Could you please pull up your pants?" And you know what they do? They pull up their pants. They don't curse me out. They don't get mad at me. It's the way you approach them, the way you talk to them. And we all have nephews. We all have someone in the family. We all have one of those kids. But let me tell you what happens in my family. If I have a nephew or somebody in my family that's close to me and they see me coming, I don't have to say a word. Just my face says it. I don't have to say one word. They just pull up their pants automatically. If I walk in a neighborhood where kids know me, I don't have to say a word. They just pull up their pants.
Yeah.
Okay? And so what I try to do, I try to always acknowledge my young black sisters and brothers with a positive and not a negative. I might be feeling something negative inside about the way they're behaving, but the way I approach them is with a negative. I mean, with a positive response to the way they're acting. I said, "Wait a minute, are you going to say thank you?" And they look at me like, "Oh, my bad, thank you." You know, you have to find a ways to communicate. And the most important message that I really have today is that, programs like this work, but it still has to come from the home. It has to come from that mother. It has to come from whoever is in that household. It has to come, it has to start there. Not in the classroom, not in the church. It has to start at home. And you don't need a $5,000 etiquette program. You don't need to go to a program at a community center. You don't need a 501c3. All you need is the passion to want to do it. You have to be the change. You have to be the voice.
I agree. And you know what?
That's
and
right.
With that, I'm going to put a pause just for a second, because the switchboard is lit up. And so I want to bring in one of the callers and allow them to have either give us a comment or add to anything that you have said. So just a moment here. Let me bring in the caller. Hello there. Hi, this is Casey from the Fly Girl Show. Do you have a comment, or would you like to say something to Carolyn?
Hello?
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 Hi, would you like to say something, and welcome to the Fly Girl Show.
Well, good morning, Casey, and good morning, Carolyn. This is Diane Hunter in Los Angeles.
What a surprise. You are the angel of the sky. Diane Hunter, you are just, oh, my God.
Well, I just want to say that I am enjoying your interview. I don't want to take time away from all the wonderful things that you have to say, and please continue doing what you're doing. You are just a phenomenal person in my life.
I
have so much love and respect for you and the things that you do and that you are still doing and that you will always do. So just keep up the good work, and I will talk with you personally very soon.
I'm going to come visit you real soon, too, because I love visiting you in California.
Always be welcome, and sincerely love you, and thank you
for all the positive energy
that you send my way. You are the most positive, pleasant person on earth, and you send so much good, I won't say use the word cheer, but good positive energy and good spiritual thoughts to all the people that come in contact with you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I thank you for that, and Casey, please continue on to another caller and get back to Carolyn. She has so much to say and to tell you. Of all of her phenomenal endeavors.
Oh, no, no. It's not about me.
But you are very unselfish and very, you just have so much love for everyone and so much caring.
Yes, I do.
That we feel it, and everyone who knows you feels it. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
And I'll just thank
you.
And bye-bye. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Casey, I wanted to open up with a quote, and it says, don't be impressed by money, followers, degrees, and titles. Be impressed with kindness, integrity, humility, and generosity. That's what it's all about. It's not about those things.
Yes. Absolutely. And we're going to have you read that again at the closing of the show, because that's something that I want everyone to absorb, because what you just said, it's so important in our everyday life, and mantra that we need to put in place and really think about it, because we're going through some difficult times. But once again, though, we go back to the basics. We go back to why this became a passion. And can you remember and tell the story? Can you remember what really motivated you? What did you see that made you say, this is what is needed, this is what is overlooked? Can you remember the moment that your passion was developed?
Ignited, yeah. Well, you know, let me tell you, you know, like you said, you know, I was one of the first blacks. And when I joined Continental after my husband died, I became a widow at a very young age. And after my husband died, I joined the airline. And I was always the only black here, the only black there. And questions would come to me like, Carolyn, you know, from white flight attendants and pilots, they would tell me nigger jokes. And then they would ask me questions like, is it true that all black people live in shacky houses and drive Cadillacs? Just stupid stuff. And I would be like, I was just dumbfounded. Like, I didn't know how to respond. There was no manual that I learned, you know, other than just be polite to people and try to be kind. And I endured a lot of these questions. And one day I said to I hope you don't mind me saying the N-word, but I said to a pilot, I said, time out for the N-jokes. And they said, oh, my God, you're militant. And I said, no, I'm not. So then you know, I'm in that white world. I'm going to all the fancy restaurants. I'm doing all the great things. I'm wearing Gucci, Pucci. I'm up and down Michigan Avenue. I'm traveling all over the world. I'm meeting all kinds of wonderful people. But then when it was time for me to go back home, I had to go back to reality. I had to go visit my mom, visit some of my relatives in the country, visit some of my relatives that were not from wealth. And it hit me, and then I would see these little young black girls misbehaving in a store one day, and I told my sister, I said, you know what, I'm going to have an etiquette class. I'm going to start an etiquette class. I said, an etiquette class? I said, yep, I'm going to teach these young ladies how to be ladies. And that's where it started. It started with I absolutely saw a need for me to go back to the hood and be an example and show them how to walk, how to sit. I partnered with some big-time restaurants, even here in New Orleans. And I said, do you mind if I bring 25, 30 young ladies? Absolutely, Carolyn, absolutely. People were so, passionate about helping me give back to these kids. And I would invite speakers, and they were thirsty, they were hungry, and they loved it. And to this day, 2020, I still get requests. I still have programs that I offer to young people. And guess what? They don't have to pay a dime. They don't have to pay any money. I get people to sponsor each kid. So if it's a nice restaurant, like here in New Orleans, Brennan's restaurant, Dickie Brennan, let me host a group of kids. When I was in Chicago, I went from everywhere from Larry Levy, Mrs. Levy's Deli, to Tony's in Houston, Texas. I mean, they have been very, 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 you know, okay about me bringing these kids and exposing them.
How could anyone say no to you? That's what I wanted to interject. How could anyone with all your energy and your passion say no? And the fact is, it's a program that needs to be redeveloped, reinvented today, because there is such a need for that. Well, with that, I'm going to take another break. I'm going to bring in another caller, and let's get another opinion or input as to what this caller may have to say. So one moment. Let me bring this caller in. Good morning. It's Casey, the Fly Girl Show. Do you have a comment or something you would like to say to Carolyn today?
Good morning. Hello. My name is Brenda Andrews. Hello?
Yes, hello. Hi. Go ahead and make your comment.
Yes, my name is Brenda Andrews. I'm calling from Louisiana, Lafayette. I just want to thank Ms. Carolyn Shelton for all the work that she does for the kids in the community. We appreciate her expertise and sharing her knowledge and wisdom with the world. And I just want to say keep doing what you're doing. And Ms. Casey, I applaud your show. It's my first time hearing about it, but won't be my last. Both of you ladies,
you
keep up the good work.
I appreciate your call. Thank you so much. Carolyn, would you like to respond?
Yes, thank you so very much. And I'd like to respond with the fact that I don't forget, but I always want to let you guys know that I had a mother. I had a mother. She's deceased now, but she is my rock. She's my voice. She's my spirit. Because I'm going to tell you something, my mother would get up. She was my role model in terms of not having the glamorous life. My mother every day would wake up, put on her nice clothes, put on her lipstick, and she'd go, and she was a housekeeper for all of her years. She was a housekeeper, and she was a provider. She always gave us positive reinforcement, and that's why I know it works. It works. And my mother is my role model. She is someone that anybody that knows me, they know my mother, Angelina. Angelina, baby. And my mother didn't take any mess off of any of her kids. She had 9 of us. And I promise you, she raised 9 mannerable kids. And I thank her, I thank her, I thank her. Not only my mother, but my grandmother and my dad and my other family members.
Well, I want to thank the caller.
My mother was very positive.
I want to thank the caller, and with that, I will say thank you so much for calling in, and thank you. I hope you will continue to listen to the Fly Girl Show, and as you have already stated, you've learned something, and you are definitely impressed with my guest, as I am, so please continue to listen. And Carolyn, I am going to keep us on a roll But there's another caller that we're going to allow to come in and say a few words to you, if you don't mind, because I know you have so many more things that you want to say, and believe me, we're going to get to them. But at this point, I'm going to bring in another caller because, you know, everyone is impressed as I am impressed. I've known you, but I'm learning more things still about you. So allow me to bring in this caller. Good morning, and thank you so much for calling into the Fly Girl Show. Would you like to make a comment or add something to our interview today?
So far, good morning, everyone. I'm just real impressed with what I'm listening to. It's always a joy. I learn something every time I listen, and I'm very grateful, Casey, that you do this. It's always an eye-opener, to say the least. And
thank
I'm
you.
Very grateful. It's always an eye-opener. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What a blessing that you've been to us who join you. And continue the good work. I think it's
thank
fabulous.
You. Thank you. Well, Carolyn has done her part in doing that. And, you know, once a flight attendant, always a flight attendant. And, you know, we've learned a lot. So with that, did you want to say anything else to Carolyn? Or are you just going to sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the show?
I'm going to sit back and do the R&R and enjoy.
Okay. Well, I appreciate so much for you calling in. Continue to listen. And so we're going to get back to my guest because she's got so much more to tell us. So thank you so much, caller, for calling in.
Yes, you're welcome.
And, Carolyn, you know, the passion, everyone can just hear it in your voice. And if you don't know, they will get to know. They will know Carolyn Shelton and the energy and the importance, because this interview is all about that. You're continuing to let us know the importance of etiquette. Etiquette starts from, as you said, waking up and saying thank you to your parent. Whether you have two parents in the household or not, it's still about, it starts there, saying thank you for whatever you have done for me. Thank you. Thank you, God, for waking up. How about that? Thank
yes,
you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And we have positive energy. Every time we see a young person, you know, and that person might not be dressed the way we thought they should be dressed, or he or she should be dressed or behaving, it's all in how you approach them and how you teach them. And believe me, I promise you, kindness has no nationality, nor does a smile. A smile is universal. I can go to Japan. I can go to Australia. I can go to New Zealand. I can go to Holland. I can go anywhere in the world. And when you smile, it's a national act of kindness. When you do a kind act, I mean, a person doesn't even have to speak English. You do a kind act. If someone's fallen on the ground and you lift them up, that's a kind act. That's all these kinds of things that we should be practicing on a daily basis. And that's just the message that I've been trying to get across.
Well, that's universal. That's a universal message. There are two things that
are
universal.
And one last thing I got to say, because I'm going to forget it. You know, I'm older now. I'm 70 plus. but this is what I want. This is a very important message that I would like to share with the young ladies. The one thing, If you didn't hear anything else from Ms. Shelton, from Ms. Casey, from Ms. Hunter, from your teacher, and that is, young ladies, please, I beg you, it's really on you right now. You need to start demanding, not asking, but demanding respect from your brother. You need to remember what I just said. Demand respect. Because if you don't demand respect, you're left with a drive-by. They drive by, drop babies off, and they keep going. When they're ready for a wife, they're not coming back to you to pick you up and marry you. So my thing is, my mother had 9 kids. There's nothing wrong with having children, but don't have them for the wrong reason, and make these brothers respect you, please. Aretha Franklin, she says it best, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Respect. You have to respect yourself before you can get respect. So
absolutely,
please keep that message. If there's nothing else you've learned today, and if you're not listening to this, maybe your mom can teach it to you, your aunt. Make those brothers respect you. Point blank. That's it. Respect. Respect.
And you know, I'm glad you said that, because that we think sometimes, I like the first part of what you said. Number one, it's easy to criticize, but you sometimes have to sit back, and not sometimes, and you should sit back. And sometimes when we make these judgments about people, people don't know what they don't know. So therefore, it's not fair for you to pass a judgment on someone else. Number one,
right?
You know,
right.
And what you just said is a basic. It's basic to those of us who know, but for those that don't know, I hope your ears were opened, because yes, it's that basic word of respect. Because if you don't respect yourself, then nobody else will. If you don't know the social etiquettes and what's polite and what's acceptable, then you have a problem right there, because you just don't know what you don't know. So with that, I'm going to take a pause, and I'm going to take another caller. The switchboard is lit up. Your message is getting out, okay? Your message is getting out, Carolyn, so hold on. Here is another caller, and we'll see if they want to make a comment or just want to listen. So let's make sure that all is working well. Good morning, and thank you so much for calling in. This is Casey, the host of the Fly Girl Show, of course, because that's why you called in. Would you like to make a comment or ask Carolyn a question? Hello? We're having a little delay, but I think the caller is there. Hello? Okay. And maybe they just wanted to listen. Yes, so we'll move on, which is okay. But they're still on the switchboard, and so maybe we'll get back to them and try another time. But so what do you do in New Orleans with your program? Because at this point, I know that you are still very active, and it still is necessary, because I want you to tie in for me the social and acceptable etiquette, even as it's reflected in songs. And as we just ended this session about respect, let's address some of the words, the verbiage of these songs, which lets us all know women are not demanding the respect that you and I feel a woman should have. So would you address that issue for me?
Well, you know, I had a very, very bad experience with one of my nephews, and he was in the car with me, and he and his little friend, and they used the word thought, and I didn't know what that was. I said, thought. And they were screaming at these young ladies walking down the street, and I said, what's a thought? A thought, as it's called, a thought. And I'm like, what is that? You know, and so they explained to me what that was. So I didn't speak to him for like almost a whole year.
Well, explain it to the audience. Let me stop you.
There's songs out that these rappers sing, and they talk about thoughts, and it means that blank over there. I can't even say that word. I can't say it.
Okay, no, but we can fill the blanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how
so,
are you spell
so,
it?
So,
how are you? Is that thought?
Thought. Thought. They pronounce it thought. There's some people out there that have young kids that know what that word is. But anyway, I had a problem. I had a problem with that. So, you know, what I do in my classes, I don't just talk about etiquette. I actually express different little vignettes. I'll do a thing like I'll show you the right way and the wrong way to apply for a job. So I'll show the young ladies how to walk, how to sit. I'll talk to the young ladies why it's important that your nails are impeccably polished or no polish. I talk to the young guys about having a nice shirt on. You don't just walk in, ask for an application or whatever, and not look. You don't have to have on a three-piece suit. You don't have to have on Brooks Brothers. You don't have to have on Gucci, Pucci, none of that. As long as you're clean and positive, that's all they want. And a desire to work and a desire to get in with that company, find out what that company corporate culture is, or that culture might be. If you can wear jeans with a nice crisp shirt or some nice shoes, you don't have to have a three-piece suit on. So what I do is I take a profile of different companies, and I explain to them, you know, how you approach different companies and to look a different way. Now, for instance, most kids think, oh, I'm just going to work at McDonald's. Well, you know what? Just because you're going to apply for a job at McDonald's does not mean you have to go there looking with your hair, you know,
going in 5,000 different directions, dirty fingernails, and I want me an application. No. You have to approach it right, because what a lot of kids don't understand, the person giving you that application, they just interviewed you. They'll say,
yes.
Well, our manager's going to be reviewing the applications at 2 o'clock. Can you come back at 2? Most of the time, you're not going to come back at 2. But they don't realize you were just interviewed. And
yes.
And when you walked out the door, that application went in the trash can. So make
yes.
sure you're presented, you know, you're presentable. Make sure you have a pen. Make sure you can at least articulate and say certain words, you know, and put down the music and pick up a book. Go on Kindle. Go on your computer. Learn how to read. Learn about life other than just this rapper. Because let me tell you something. Every time these kids, there's nothing wrong with kids and their music and all the messages that come through. But there are a lot of role models out there. The guy that just passed away, what's his name? Bosman, the young man that just died from stomach cancer. He was a perfect.
Yes, Bosworth. Isn't it Bosworth? The
Bosman.
Black Panther. For all
right.
the Chad.
Made,
Chad. So for
he,
those that we're not
yes.
getting the name, yes, Bosworth. I
well, he. Everyone needs to go online or, you know, get your phone out and read the presentation and the speech he gave to the Howard University grant.
Yes.
It was just, oh, my God. That needs to be an anthem for all young people, a must-read for all young people to read. And there was a very, very somber message in what he said, and it resonates. It should resonate forever. And I'm not saying every kid should try to be like somebody else. Be who you are. We all have a different DNA. But at least know how to present yourself the best of you at all times.
Absolutely. And, you know, he had so many messages, because here this young man dealt with cancer,
yes.
but he kept going
yes.
because he wanted to be a positive,
yes.
not just the role
yes.
in the movie, but he became
yes.
Bosman, Chadwick Bosman.
Yes.
And
yes, Chadwick,
and it's
yes,
not just
yes.
about him having a message. He left a legacy. He always, that movie Black Panther gave young children the role model. Basketball,
yes.
it's fine. I love my sports, believe me. But, you know, there's other things. It's just like I try to tell people, and since we're all in aviation, the point of it is you don't have to just be a pilot or a flight attendant in aviation. You can go and
That's
become
right.
an air traffic
That's
controller.
Right.
You can become
That's
a doctor
right.
for the airlines. You can
That's
become a nurse for the
yes.
There's other fields
yes.
in aviation that
yes.
I want, and I try
Very
to
good
when
point.
I do. When I do my book signings, I try to enlighten the people that are around mm-hmm. me. You must seek out different things. And adding to your point, you're right about that application. But life is about being judged no matter where you go. Every place
That's
you go,
true.
If you walk into a store and you look like you're threatening, or you're threatening to those people who don't understand the message that you might be displaying, your hairstyle, your clothes, you are still being judged. Every place you go, you are being judged. So you break the ice by saying hello, thank you,
yes.
may I.
Yes.
Those
yes.
kind words that bring
yes.
in a
yes.
communication to speak to ask for help, and for those who want to respond in a positive way. So I like your analogy. You're absolutely right. When you're the person that interviewed you first was the person that took that application.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Because if they go and
yep.
say to their boss, which is what they should do, is eliminate and say, no. Yeah, he's not going to make it. He's not going to make it. And you will not be called back at 2 o'clock.
you know what? I had to learn a valuable lesson when I was living in Guam, and we have a little joke about black people always not being on time, CP time. But I learned real quickly. We only had one aircraft, was a DC-6, and I was coming back from a party, and I forgot that my check-in was at 6 o'clock the next morning. Well, I was coming back from the party at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
And I saw this aircraft. Wait. I saw this aircraft in the sky, and I went, oh, wait a minute. Maybe they're training a pilot or something. Clearly, that's not my flight. Honey, that flight took off without me, baby. I guarantee
you.
my roommate had to take that flight because I misread my schedule. I thought my schedule was the next day when it was actually that morning at 6 o'clock. So my point is the beat goes on, life goes on.
Yes. You
don't want to apply for the job, you don't want to come to work on time, let me tell you something, they don't care about the excuse. They don't want to care.
Yes.
You missed the bus, the trolley, your car didn't start. You know what? You got to fix it. You got to fix it because I had to learn the hard way that, you know, excuses are too convenient. And excuses don't fly airplanes, okay? You have to be on time.
Well, one thing about it, I think.
I learned a few lessons along the way.
You did. But I do want to say, though, you know, for my two cents of your story, let me just add, it wasn't because you were not being responsible. You were being irresponsible
right.
to a certain degree because
yes.
you didn't read the schedule
yes.
right.
Yes.
But let's put the
yes.
period right there. It wasn't that you were disrespectful of someone's time.
That's
because
right.
you felt like you were privileged to do
yes.
that. You
yes.
you made a mistake.
Yes.
Yours was
a mistake.
And so those
exactly.
are two different
Thank
things
you.
We're
Thank
saying
you.
Here. Being on time is not about you being privileged and you're holding up, so you're disrespectful to someone else's time. And there's
right.
only one
Absolutely.
Clock. There's only one clock. The hour
right.
may change on that clock. The minutes never change worldwide.
That's right.
You can be in,
That's
you and
right.
I have different time zones. That hour may change, but the seconds and the minutes never change, okay? No
That's
matter what
true.
Time
There's
zone
a point.
You're on. Yeah.
There's a
so
point.
You must be on time to gain and have the respect of someone else that's affording you a job, you an opportunity,
right.
you know. So those are the important things. But with that being said, is there anything that you would like to say for closing? Because I think that we
yeah.
really have covered so many wonderful things. I encourage my audience to go on my Facebook and look at your 2020 interview, which I think was so excellent. And I just think that you just showed, it came through. It came through, and I know you. But the passion of what you have done, the love for what you do now, and I do believe that this etiquette program that you have developed needs to be revitalized because we are in such need.
And I also live by another quote, and it says, don't judge people for the choices they make when you don't
yeah.
know the options they had to choose from. Sometimes you say, oh, my God, how come so-and-so, I can't believe you haven't made it yet. Well, in your eyes, maybe that person hasn't made it, but you know what? You don't even know what that person – sometimes people are sitting in front of you with, like what we were talking about, the young man with the cancer. A lot of people have a lot of stuff going on, don't talk about it. And it's not only me. And so sometimes you have to, switch the route that they would have normally gone, whatever, they this kind of don't announce to the world about what's going on in their life. So be very careful how you judge people. And again,
Let me interrupt you for
money.
A second, Carolyn, because I'm having a little problem hearing you. I don't know if it's a technical difficulty on your end, but your message is so important. I want everyone to hear it. Could you just repeat what you said? I did not hear it, so I'm assuming that it didn't come across to my audience. That last quote was just so profound. I really want people to hear it.
Which one? At the end of the day?
At the end of the day.
At the end of the day, I'm thankful that my blessings are bigger than my problems. Don't judge people by the choices they make when you don't know the options they had to choose from.
Yes. Yes.
And then finally, don't be impressed by money, followers, degrees, and titles. Be impressed with people that have kindness, integrity, humility, and generosity. That's very important.
That is so
important.
Always
remain humble. Remain humble. Always remain humble and kind
yes.
to people. That's the most
yes.
important thing I can say.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you, you have gotten, you set the pace for my day. Because those words were encouraging to me, and I try every day to have an upbeat. But I think that those I'd love to post them on my website, so I'm going to have to get them from you. But I love it. I love it. I think with that, one thing I just want to say to add to the etiquette, we're going to add a pet peeve because we've got a little time. The pet peeve of what people don't know. Carolyn, please tell me.
Yes.
Is it polite, and I know the answer, polite, correct, or incorrect to go to sit at a table and put your arm on the table? When did that change and become acceptable? Please tell me.
It's because people just don't know. You can't practice something if you don't know. And if you've been around people that do it, they think it's okay. But you know what? I was taught, believe it or not, I was taught manners right in the country, in Youngsville, Louisiana. I mean, with the cows mooing outside, but it was just different things that my grandmother and my grandfather and my mother and my aunts, they were all teachers. So we have to become those teachers as well. Now, if you're out with a grown person, and they have that, you have to leave it alone. You have to just accept it and leave it alone. You can't even begin to say it's incorrect, even if you go out on a date. Like, I've gone on a date, and this burps so loud, you could hear him in the next parish. And I decided he burped so loud, and he thought it was okay. So my thing was, I'm not going to correct him. I just knew that was my last date with him, okay? Another person, maybe you're taught to eat soup a certain way, you're taught to break your bread a certain way, and you see someone that you really, really care about, and that person has very, very poor manners. Now, do you correct that person? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, at some point, maybe they will get the message that, hey, you know, I know my manners are not impeccable, but blah, blah, blah. But my point is, you just have to accept it. I mean, when people are grown, you just have to just leave it alone. So what I'm getting at is, what we have to do is get to our young people. We have to teach them. We have to teach them. We can't teach an adult unless they pay you $5,000 to teach an etiquette class in corporate America, which they do all the time. They have corporate classes on etiquette. Believe it or not, major corporations, they have classes on etiquette. And let me just say this last thing. I did an etiquette program for Xavier University. I met a lady by the name, and this was back in the 80s, I met a lady by the name of Sybil Morriel, who is the wife of Dutch Morriel, the deceased mayor, and she taught an etiquette class at Xavier University, and before you graduated from Xavier, you had to take that class.
Perfect.
It was mandatory.
Perfect. Perfect. And this is what's needed. And so you have expressed from A to Z where and how etiquette is needed. And as we say, manners do matter. And you can say modern manners if you want to, however you want to phrase it and however you want to attach it to what's relevant that's going on in life today. It still matters. It still matters.
Yes.
So
yes.
Is there a contact number that you would like to, because we're going to wrap the show up, which I just don't want to, but it's just, you know, you've given me, you're just so energized and the passion is there and people can feel it. But at this point, how can they get in contact with you? And if my audience, if there's anyone that would like to, you know, even implement a program, how do they get in contact with you? So say it slowly and say it twice.
Okay, it's Carolyn Shelton, and my program is called Young, Gifted, and Classy. And the phone number is 504-813-1648. And I think I have it on Facebook. I think I have a Facebook page. 504-813-1648.
Perfect. Thank you so much. You have been a delight.
Thank you. There's one more caller that
they called in earlier. I'm going to give them the opportunity to say something because they called in and something happened. So let's give them the opportunity. So just a moment and see if I can bring them in. Hello, caller. We're going to take your call because I see that you called in before. Are you there?
Yes. Hi.
Oh, perfect, perfect. All right, would you like to say something? Because we're closing the show, and so this is your opportunity to say something to Carolyn or make a comment.
Okay, the video was very, very touching and unbelievable. Carolyn has done such a wonderful job. It's beautiful. We need more of that in the communities all across America. working with our children, and I am just a cheerleader for that.
Perfect. And isn't that the truth, though? I do encourage the audience to go and to look at that video because she did such an excellent job. And she was just a little kid. She was young. but she was so impressive because the passion is there. But I appreciate you so much for calling in, caller. And where are you calling from?
I am calling from Louisiana.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thank you. We're going to use you as our closing remark. So I'm going to put you back on hold, and then we will just enjoy the last moments of the show, please. And thank you so much for calling in. And, Carolyn, that was wonderful because, you know, she
thank
did. What a wonderful way to close the show with somebody
oh,
that did
thank
took the,
you
they,
so
she
much.
Took the time to see the video,
yes.
which is very important, number
yes.
one. She got the message, number two, and she will be telling somebody else about it because you
yes.
can hear it in her voice that she understands
thank
the
you.
Need and the importance of us bringing back proper manners, etiquette.
Yes.
It's all about that.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you
so much, Casey.
This
Casey.
Was such a good show. So I'm going to close the show off, Carolyn. Don't go anywhere or whatever you would like to do. I don't know if you need to get your day started, but I'm going to close the show out. But I want to close it out with a wonderful and a heartfelt thank you so much for doing this interview with me.
And thank you for having me. I appreciate it more than you know. And hopefully I'll be in Chicago soon.
isn't that the truth? You've got to come. And with that, we're going to wrap this one up because this was a fantastic. I don't know how you feel, everybody, but I feel like I know I'm not going to put my elbows on the table. And number one, another thing I got from Carolyn is don't try to teach old people the manners. If they didn't get it and they're 90 years old, they're not going to get it. But we'll laugh at that and we'll continue on. And for those brothers that don't know, as Carolyn said, she said, you won't have another date with me. And so, ladies, learn a little bit about respect, a lot about respect. Give it to me. And at that point, I am going to close the show. I am so thankful that you came and joined me today and enjoyed this enlightening. I know it was enlightening. I know it was interesting. And I thank you so much for joining Carolyn Shelton, the etiquette expert. And so till then, please look at my website to see what my next show will be. And until that point, I will say, have a wonderful day. And this is Casey Grant, and I am the host of the Fly Girl Show. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.